Your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17, and we're going to read the whole chapter this morning. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Judges chapter 17, begin reading in verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. And the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach you right of my heart. May your Holy Spirit lead those today as you would seem fit. As he sings in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The title of the sermon today is The Times of the Judges, The Plan of Micah. The Plan of Micah. Now, the last time we were in the, the study of the times of the judges, we finished the account of Samson, who was the last judge recorded in the book of Judges. There was, I know, at least one more that they had, and there may have been two, but that was outside the book of Judges. But today we will begin to see what further happened in Israel and the events that occurred after Samson. And as to no surprise, their idolatry cycle had not changed. If you remember, when we started the study of the book of Judges, that they just kept going through a cycle. They would go away from God and go to the idols of their neighbors and the people that they didn't get out of the land they were supposed to. And God would punish them under slavery or just oppression from their enemies. And then when they would cry out for mercy and turn back to God, he was sending yet another judge, deliverer, to get them out. And they would repeat all over again. Well, guess what? Nothing's changed. They're back to their same old stuff again. Honestly, the rest of the book of Judges is full of tragedy and sin. You're like, Brother Daniel, that's not very encouraging. Well, y'all, if you take the Bible book by book, you're going to find tragedy and you're going to find victory. But let me tell you, when you put it all together, there's victory in Jesus Christ, who is the beginning and the end. So if you have your trust in Jesus Christ, you can claim victory today and rejoice. But if you don't believe in Jesus, there is no victory for you. There is no peace. There is only tragedy. My first point this morning, the plan was calculated. The plan was calculated. Some of you who are in school or were in school, you think of a calculator. Well, what's the whole purpose of that? It's to, when you're planning out something, you have to make sure it's done properly. So that's why you calculate it. In verse 1, many people will think of the prophet Micah when they hear his name. But this whole event that we're going to cover at this point happened with someone else who bore the same name as the prophet Micah, but before he was even born. In verse 2, we discover the type of relationship that was between Micah and his mother. And it says in verse 2, and he said unto his mother, this is Micah speaking, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Here we see exactly what kind of relationship that Micah had with his mother. Let me tell you, I'm just going to be blunt with you this morning. Micah here was a spoiled brat that needed the board of correction across his seat of education. For those of you who went this morning, he needed a whooping. He needed a spanking. He needed to be disciplined. That's what he needed. And apparently, he didn't get what he needed growing up. He was already an adult here. And we see here that his mother could not find this 1,100 shekels. And she had apparently been using some bad, colorful language and issuing some bad threats if she found out who stole that 1,100 shekels. To put that in perspective, I looked this up Friday. And of course, y'all know the value of silver changes all the time. But in today's market, as of Friday, that 1,100 shekels of silver would be worth in today's U.S. market $14,248.30. Yeah, no wonder she was upset. Even though her bad language was inexcusable, most people would understand her frustration. Now, here's the thing, y'all. Do you realize that no matter where you go in this world, whether you're a child of God or whether you're lost, bad things are going to happen to you? That's the truth, y'all. No matter if you're saved or you're lost. But herein lies the difference. A saved person, that's a child of God, when bad things come their way, they shouldn't act like lost people. For example, her mouth and what she was saying, and a lot of people say, well, I can understand her being mad and using all that bad language. That's no excuse, though. How you handle bad situations as a child of God speaks volumes on your relationship with God, and it also speaks volumes to those around. Because who was looking at her? Micah. And he knew that mama was upset. And of course, the old saying, if mama's happy, what? Nobody's happy. He knew he'd better very quickly give that money back to her. He stole it. He stole that money from his own mother. So Micah confessed that he took the money. And her tune, I want y'all to notice this, her tune quickly changed just like that. She was going around the house using bad language. She was giving death threats to whoever, if she found out whoever took her money. And then when Micah said, it was me, Mama. What did she say? She went from cursing to telling her son, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. Now some may think that she was so relieved to get the money that she didn't want to discipline her son. Now some of you may have that situation where with your children, they know they've done wrong, and because of your reaction to what they did, that was good enough. I'm here to tell you that was not the case here between Micah and his mother. Since we know the rest of the story, her heart was not right with the Lord. And she did not even attempt to correct her son on future attempts. And she even directed him down the wrong path. Therefore, it is safe to say that she failed in the area of correction and instruction with her son. Now, I hate to tell y'all this. No, I don't. Not really. There are parents in this world who think their children do no wrong. Hogwash. I don't care how good they are. They're all, every one of your children are not perfect. They may be perfect in your eyes, but that's it. Now, some might be more well-behaved than others, but y'all, from my own experience of child, having children, to being a teacher, to looking at the whole rest of the world, nobody's perfect. So if you don't teach your children to do what's right and wrong and discipline with love, your children are going to grow up to be reprobates against authority. I'm here to tell you, I could very quickly, when I was a teacher, realize what students' parents made them and loved them enough to correct them and those that didn't. And I only had one parent one time of 2 years I taught that I called to talk about, well, actually it was two parents. And I called to talk to them about their child, and they didn't want to do anything with them. And then one of the situations, it was like, oh, no, not my child. And yes, it was your child. I saw it with my own two eyes and heard it with my own two ears. No, not, yes, it was. And this has been an ongoing problem. Oh, no, not, look, get out of your denial state and realize your child messed up. But sometimes people don't want to take the responsibility, and therein lies the issue. You don't take the responsibility for whatever reason. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you just don't care. Maybe you think, well, that's just too much to handle. Listen, if you love your children enough, you will not only correct them, but you'll discipline them in the right ways. Even the Lord says that He chastens, that means disciplines, whom He loves. I can keep preaching on that, but I'm going to go on. Verse 3, we discover the mother's plan for the money. She said to Micah, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. Now, doesn't that sound lovely and holy? I'm dedicating this for the Lord. Except, no one should dedicate anything to the Lord when it is used for sin. And I can go really deep in that this morning, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit use that as He seems fit with all your hearts today. Don't try to put God's name on something when God says it's sin. If God tells you it's wrong and don't do it, then don't do it. And don't put His name on it thinking that's going to make it okay. The world has been doing that way before even Micah's time here. They're still doing it. Let's say, well, the Lord's okay with this, so therefore it's okay. No, God's word says it's not. Well, He didn't really mean that. Well, actually, yes, He did. Otherwise, He wouldn't have written His word. And then we find out that the money that she was dedicating to the Lord was going to be an honor for her son by making a carved image and a molten image. Oh, but man, it sounded so good until that last little part there. This is for the Lord. And you know what, Micah? I was going to use it to honor you too. Oh, isn't that so sweet? Except for that last little part. I was going to use it to make a graven image and a molten image, Micah. Basically, it would be a wooden false god and a precious metal false god. And more than likely, it was her intentions, from what I can gather, it would be fashioned to look like Micah because of the wording in verse 3. Now I want y'all to pay close attention to this, because this is how the devil works with false religion and false teachings. It sounds so good, but then you read the fine print. That's not right. And I don't care what our government tries to make sin sound good. They'll put it in fine print where, it sounds so good. And then you read the fine print and you're like, well, that sounds okay. No, it does not. That's why you got to make sure you read everything there. See, I could have just stopped right there and said, she's going to use it for the Lord. It's going to be all right. No, it wasn't. And then, she was a really corrupt lady. She told Micah that he should just keep the money. Really? Lady, really? You were just pitching a fit until your spoiled baby boy told you he took the money. Now you want him to keep it. I really doubt she was playing the guilt game too. I don't think she was. You know, some parents do that. They put the guilt on the children. I really doubt she was doing that. I think she was sincere. Well, you keep it, Micah. You keep it. Well, verse 4 and 5, we then discover what she and Micah both did with the money. Micah gave the money back to his mother. And then what did she do with it? She took 200 shekels of silver to pay the silversmith to make the idols. Now, the 200 shekels would have been worth $2,509.60. That left her with 900 shekels or $11,657.70. Now, wait a minute. I thought all that money was for the Lord. No, apparently not. And she said that it was for the Lord. Okay, well, then that means that some part, hopefully, is going to be given to the Lord. You think she would have at least have given a tenth or a tithe of it, but no, she instead gave more than a tenth to create these false idols. And then what did Micah do with them? He took the idols and he put them in his home. Why did he do that? Well, first of all, it was a gift from his mother. Now, I know I'm meddling now, but you'll get over it. I just know for a fact that if you have birthday presents come your way and Christmas presents come your way, and it's from a family member, and you know, like, I don't really like what I got, but you look like you like it that moment in time. And then maybe it's not something you can take back. And you're like, I'm stuck with that thing, but I really don't want to give it because, you know, Mama gave it to me, and it would just break her heart. I really doubt Micah had that attitude of it would break Mama's heart if he said no, because we see what he did after that. You see, he put it in his own home so he could be proud of himself, not be proud of what Mama did, but be proud of himself when he looked at the images of himself that his mother did for him. Y'all ever met anybody that was just awestruck with their own self-image? That was Micah. When he would go in his house every day and he would see himself in those idols, he'd go, oh man, look at me, look at me. Man! My mama, she did good when she did that. But y'all, it gets worse. On top of this, Micah then made a place of worship with many gods. He also made a place to sell replicas of his gods, the images of himself, and a garment for his son to be his priest. You see, he made a religion out of himself. He took and pagan religions were known for that back then. You had the one representation of the deity, the god or the goddess, whether in a graven or a molten image, in other words, a precious metal or a wooden image, and then the people would benefit from it by selling replicas of it. This whole family broke a lot of God's commandments. They didn't worship God. They made images to worship. They instituted a false religion. And they tried to sell that religion to others and for them to follow it as well. I mean, we could go into the part of the Ten Commandments where he could very specifically command his people not to make any graven images, not to bow down yourself to any other idols, thou shalt none of the gods before me. Then he did something even worse. He did it where other people should follow it and advertise as such. Man, this is what you need. You need to come on up here to Mount Ephraim and worship these idols. And while you're here, buy some of the trinkets so you can go home and worship there too. And then tell your friends and family, come up here and do it as well. Michael, that's what he was doing. But who influenced all that? His mother. And apparently she was okay with it because that was her whole plan to begin with. My next point this morning, the plan was changed. Plan was changed, verses 6 through 12. Verse 6, we discover the mindset of so many people in Israel during this time period. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When everyone does what's right in their own eyes, chaos, anarchy, pain, and suffering ensue. And we will see this particular phrase at least two more times in this book. And Micah and his family definitely fit the description of the people in the land. They did what was right, whatever they thought. And I'm going to tell you something a little extra here. The best way to get a propaganda going is to start with religion. If people think their religious values are correct, then they think their lifestyle is correct. And this is the reason so many false religions will teach certain sins are okay. But God has not changed, nor His Word. Verse 7 through 9, a young Levite from Bethlehem had journeyed to Micah's house while looking for a place to live. You see, if you know anything about the Levites were the priestly tribe. But the Levites, they didn't actually inherit any land when they went to the Promised Land. But it was God's commandment to all the other tribes for those tribes to take care of them since they took care of the worship of God. You see, the Levites were the priests of God came from. They were in charge of the tabernacle. And they were in charge to make sure the sacrifices were done properly and so on and so forth. And God told them, look, you're not going to inherit any land, but you go and live among your brethren and the rest of the tribes, and they are going to take care of you. They're going to provide you with houses. They're going to provide you with clothes. They're going to provide you with food. You were set to go as a Levite. So they were dispersed throughout the tribes, and their fellow countrymen had to house and feed them. And apparently this young Levite, he wanted to venture out on his own, away from his family, away from their trade, and find some other people with which to live. In verse 10, Micah had a thought that he put into action to make his plan better, so he thought. This Levite's journeying throughout the land and finding a place to live, he comes to Micah's house. And Micah said, who are you? Where are you from? He said, I'm a Levite from Bethlehem out in Judah. Well, what are you doing? I'm looking for a place to live. And Micah said to himself, aha, you know what? I could use a Levite. I could really take advantage of this young man and make it sound really good to make him be a part of this wonderful thing I've got going here. He thought, this is Micah, if he actually had a Levite for a priest, because remember, they were the ones where all the priests came from for the tabernacle, the temple worship, that it would be like the genuine deal. Because, you know, everybody else around those days had gods too. They're all not the true living God. They were all false, man-made. But if he had a Levite, it would be like the real deal. To put it into modern perspective, to help us understand a little bit better, the young Levite was like a preacher for hire. Some so-called preachers will go preach anywhere that pays and provides them with whatever they want. And in the process, they know they will have to do whatever their benefactors say in order to live their lifestyle. And y'all, that's a sad reality in our world today. There are many so-called preachers that will not preach the truth because they know if they did preach the truth, they would lose not only people and congregations, they would lose money. And that's sad. I've heard that. I've heard not from some of our brethren, but from other works that, well, you know, if I really preached that, you know, they'd told me to leave. There's something wrong there. You see, Paul even warned the young preacher Timothy about the time when preachers would do such. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul said this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And we are living in that time, y'all. There are preachers, or so-called preachers, I don't even know if they're God-called, self-called, that won't preach and teach the truth. They preach what the people want to hear. And it's causing a terrible thing of people staying lost and getting away from God. I mean, the list goes on. So, Micah asked this young Levite if he would become his priest. And in the process, he would provide well for him. In other words, the young Levite here would be in charge of making. Excuse me. The young Levite here would be in charge of making sure the worship of his master and for his master was carried out the way his master wanted. What a huge and great mockery of God and the office of the priesthood. This young Levite would be in charge of making sure that Micah was worshipped and things were carried out the way he wanted it done. And Micah would get 10 shekels a year. He would get free room and board, and the clothes, and of course the apparel that went with the office. And he would be treated like one of Micah's own sons. You say 10 shekels a year is not that much. Yeah, but when you get free room and board, you get treated like one of the sons of the God that they're worshiping or the guy who instituted it. Physically, you're set to go. But the problem was not with the provisions. The problem was is that it was all sin. And it was a great insult to God. After all, the first commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So, in verse 12, the Levite agreed and went along with Micah's plan. How sad for one who was supposed to be so spiritual. However, it goes to show that he was human like the rest of us. All of God's people, whether preacher, deacon, teacher, or other, are all susceptible to sin. All of us are, including me. Oh, yeah, I'm shocked, preacher. Yeah. If you're not close to the Lord, you can sin and the process get further and further away from the Lord. My last point this morning, the plan was celebrated. Verse 13. Verse 13, it says, "Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." Micah thought, now y'all listen to how horrible this is. Micah thought that God himself would be happy and bless him because he now had a Levite for a priest. Oh, yeah, oh, man, God's really going to bless me now of all this false worship I'm doing and leading other people to doing away from God. He's really going to be happy and be blessed because now I have the real deal. I have a Levite for a priest. I wonder what he thought about God before this Levite became his personal priest. Just wondered. I don't know the answer. But he obviously didn't fear the Lord, nor did he care about doing what was right. However, he apparently had the mentality of the name it and claim it groups. In other words, in the name it and claim it, if you put God into anything, you'll be blessed and get riches in the process. Now, there's a lot of so-called preachers, hogwash, that teach and preach that. Oh, you just go do whatever feels right and you just do it for the honor and glory of God and He'll bless you. No, that's not really the truth. Here's one of those examples. Micah thought, oh man, the Lord's really going to bless me. This isn't a new false teaching. In fact, it has been around for a long time, even before Micah. Same tactic, different methods, and different people, but it's still the same tactic. There are a few scriptures that describe Micah and others like him. Everyone, please turn to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus warned of the fate of such people who think and practice this. Verses 21 through 23 of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaking says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's the fate of those people that think that they're doing right, and they're not. They think that they and God got a good relationship and they're going to go to heaven, but yet they're as lost as everybody else around them. And it's going to be a very, very sad day. We sing about that this morning. It's a great day coming, that judgment day. There's a lot of people on the judgment saying, "Well, Lord, we did all these things for you, Lord. We did it for you." And He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." That's going to be a sad day, y'all. Solomon described them as, in Proverbs 12 and 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." If you follow your feelings, you'll be led astray. You have to follow the Lord and live according to His word and His will. James wrote in James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Did Micah know that this was wrong? Yes, he did. How do we know that? Because he got excited when a Levite came around, which means he knew about God. Obviously, his mother knew about God too, because, you know, she's going to give that money to the Lord. Yeah, they knew, but they did, as we found out, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In conclusion, don't be deceived into thinking that you and God are fine based upon your ideas, feelings, and others' opinions. You are fine as long as you obey God's word, His will, and His way. Not yours, not mine, not somebody else's, but God's. And if you're so bent into continuing in sin, don't cause others to sin. Please, please, don't do that. Because that's what Micah's mother did. That's what Micah did. And his whole family. They were bound and determined to do what they wanted to do. And why didn't everybody else do it too? Finally, learn from the mistake of others, the mistakes of others. You see, You may not worship a false god, such as, you know, the Greek gods and goddesses and the Egyptian and all the other pagan religions of throughout time in the world. But whatever you put before God, that can become an idol. Your job can become an idol. It sure can. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a job, y'all. Nothing at all. But if that becomes your lifehood, I mean, like, that's what you live for is your job, you're greatly missing out on the great things in life. Remember that we as people, we as humans, no matter what you believe, we're going to prioritize the things that are most important in our lives. We do that. If spending time with family is important, then we're going to make sure that our time is focused some point in time in our schedule to spend time with our families. If your job is the most important, then everything else is going to be put on the back burner. If going on vacations all the time is important to you, you're going to make sure that happens, aren't you? Now, there's nothing wrong with vacations. I'm going to take one here in a few weeks. It's okay. But y'all, the people who don't make time for God because they say, I don't have time for it, it's because they don't consider it important. And you say, well, I believe in God. I think it's important to serve God. Then your time and your life should show it. And if you put other things before God, you say, well, it's not really important for me to be that faithful to God, not that faithful to His service, not that faithful to live for Him. As long as I show up for Sunday morning, I'm good. Well, you tell me where that says that in God's Word, and we'll go from there. I'll save you a little time. You're not going to find that. In fact, He says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He also talks about having a heart of a servant. We're going to talk about that this evening too. How to love each other and just the more you serve God, the happier you are. I don't know how to explain it, y'all. Except God said it. And because of experience, I know it. The more you serve God, the happier you are. And the further you get away from God, the more miserable you are, child of God. Oh, and lost person, you're not going to find true happiness until you find Jesus as your personal Savior. You have an opportunity this morning, child of God, to get your life right with God. Or a lost person, you have an opportunity this morning. God's given it to you to be saved. You don't have to live in misery. You don't have to live in doubt. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt by simply calling upon the name of the Lord today. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it except you. And you know what I know? The amazing thing, as powerful as God is, He does not force any individual to come unto Him. In fact, His Word says, come unto Me, all ye that are willing, that are able. Basically what it's saying, on your own, have a desire to come to Me. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, the greatest soul winner there ever has been in the face of the world, who is the epitome of what we preach and what we teach, the foundation of everything that we believe, and the most powerful being in all the universe. In His lifetime, He spent time with people that wanted to spend time with Him. He didn't force Himself on anybody. He could have. All the Pharisees and Sadducees, He could have said, look, you know what? I'm done with y'all. Y'all need a... I'm going to force you to believe in Me. That would have went against everything in God's Word. You see, God doesn't want people who are forced to come to Him. He wants people who want to come to Him. And y'all, that should be our desire today, is to live for God and worship and serve Him. And if that's not your desire today, then I would seriously examine my heart and get it right with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,